Good morning, Australia, and good evening, America, and welcome to everyone else listening across the world. It's my favourite time of the week where I get to hang out with my co-host Kez Wickham St. George, and our beautiful guest author this week is Sonny Singh. Now, just a reminder, if you're listening live on Twitch, Facebook, LinkedIn, or YouTube, Payo is ready and waiting to respond to your comments, questions with links and information. Now, don't forget, if you're watching this from YouTube, please like and subscribe our channel so you're notified whenever we have a new show goes live. And you'll also get all the information about our guests and my co-host, the lovely Kez. If you miss the live show, don't forget you can jump on to Binge TV Networks and Hero Go TV across the US and also the Tony TV channel app on all LG, Roku and Samsung smart TVs across the world. How do I know this works? I had a gorgeous friend last week message me and say, we've just installed our new TV and what's the first thing that popped up? Tony TV. How awesome is that? Now, on with the show this week. This show is, of course, always about authors, artists, and everyone in between talking about their journey. Now, Kez is my co-host and she's an internationally acclaimed best-selling author and she has a collection of her own books. She's also proactive in helping aspiring writers and authors write their books by mentoring and helping them through the process. Now, today's beautiful guest is Sonny Singh. And Sonny is a cross-cultural seeker of deep knowing. Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. My throat keeps cutting out today. She writes stories of self-discovery to encourage people to accept themselves as who they are and live life on their own terms. Her tales are of her characters' definitive moments in their life's journey. The mystical and spiritual are integral in her storytelling as she has a multicultural background. Sonny is of Indian descent, born in Mexico, raised in Colombia, and now resides in the United States. When she's not traveling, reading, or writing, she indulges in meditation, yoga, and aromatherapy. She holds a Bachelor of Arts in Biology and Society and a Master of Management in Hospitality from Cornell University. She has a Master of Science in Complementary Alternative Medicine from the American College of Healthcare Sciences, and she's currently pursuing a Doctor of Divinity with the University of Metaphysical Sciences. And I can't wait to talk about that later in the show. Sonny has worked in hospitality before practicing as a wellness coach. She is certified as an integrative nutritional health coach, international certified health coach, Reiki master, registered aromatherapist, certified in crystal energy. She's a guide, intuitive, and angel guide. Wow, what an intro.
I can't wait to hear all about the metaphysical side of you, but let's start at the beginning, Sonny, and talk about the growing up and that beautiful, diverse cultural background that you have. Tell us about growing up, having the Indian descent in Mexico and raised in Colombia and eventually living in the USA. Fill in the details here for us.
Well, the details. All my family is from India. My parents, when they got married, they moved to Mexico City. And so my brother and I were born in Mexico City. My father's career was in agriculture and that had him moving from India to Mexico, eventually to Colombia. And so that's where I was raised. I was there from 5 months old until I was 18 and went off to university or college, as we say in the United States. And then I ended up being here for I want to say it was 6-7 years before I actually moved to Asia. So I lived in Hong Kong for 4 years and then came back. So I've been back in the States since 2008. So it's been quite a journey.
It is quite a journey. So why did your parents they obviously married and moved to Mexico. What entails that?
It was a job opportunity for my father. So he was working actually for an institute in India that had an office in Mexico. And so they got married and moved there. They were there all together for about 4 years before moving to Colombia.
Oh, lovely. So you certainly had an education in world travel. And I firmly believe that you don't need to go to school sometimes. That the education in itself is travel, meeting Absolutely. So many dads. And, you know, going to temples and different religions you can look into. It's so interesting. So you have an array of qualifications from traditional to alternative, and the Doctor of Divinity you are currently working on sounds really interesting. So the journey to spiritual to alternative sounds, sorry, the journey to spiritual and alternative. Tell me about that one.
I would say that that's something that's been part of my life, even though not overtly, since I was younger. In Indians and spirituality and meditation and yoga has been something that I've either gathered through the culture, through my parents. I mean, I remember as a little girl, my mother used to do yoga, and I would just try to get into the poses with her, not really understanding what she was doing. A lot of my family has always been very religious, and with that, there's obviously an element of spirituality. But also Mexico and Colombia are very spiritual places, even though they're not necessarily well known for that. So I would say that that's something that I just grew up with and I carried in me, but it wasn't until much later in my life that I decided, as part of my own journey and my own personal journey, to take time out to learn. One of the things that I would say is, you know, and that's why I have so many things is I could be a perpetual student. I love learning. That's just one of the things that motivates me and one of the things that inspires me. I like searching for symbols, meanings, connections. And so I'm naturally drawn to these kinds of things. And that is why I either I'm always reading a spiritual book or taking some sort of spiritual course, or, you know, now part of the University of Metaphysical Sciences. It's a mouthful. And that's something that I only started a few weeks ago. So I've just started.
Wow. I will dig deeper later on privately into this metaphysical divinity. But that just fascinates me because coming from New Zealand, I too have a very deep spiritual connection to the earth, to plants, to the heavens. And so it goes very deep. And my father being an Irishman also, and my mum being an English Jew, we had all these religions come into the house. And, of course, they were always taking in borders for mum to make a bit of extra money, and way back there in the 1950s. So though we didn't travel overseas then because we didn't really have planes in New Zealand then, I don't think. But that my education about other countries and religion came from them. Very interesting. Tony, what have you got?
Well, I was most fascinated by your current looking at Doctor of Divinity, and I didn't actually know that there was a university called the University of Metaphysical Sciences. But how good is it, Sonny, that we can actually have universities that educate us on the metaphysical? Are you enjoying it? I know you've just started.
Mm-hmm. Very much. I mean, it's not something that you find very readily. I do believe something like Harvard University has a Doctor of Divinity. But with that,
really?
Actually, yeah. I mean, when I was looking into what I wanted to do, I didn't necessarily want to go to a brick and mortar institution because I've already done that. But also I was looking for flexibility, and it turns out with Harvard, at least from what I know, I don't know what other information there is out there. You had to actually choose a faith or at least some sort of religious practice with that. Whereas in this particular institution, even though you learn about religions and world religions are part of the course, You also learn about everything. You learn about meditation. You learn about yoga and pranayama. You learn about crystals. You learn about the chakras, which, you know, my poetry book is about the chakras. So it all sort of ties in together, and they offer quite a lot of diverse, I think, not just viewpoints, but course materials. So it's been very interesting.
Sunny, knowing that you've got that Indian ancestry in your background, was that part of some of the learning when you grew up? Did your parents teach you about your Indian heritage? Because within the Indian culture, there's, you know, the shamans and the deep cultural stories and rituals and practices. Was that part of growing up for you?
Yes and no. There was some of it. Part of what we had at home, like my parents have always had an altar where they have their different gods and goddesses. And so I used to watch them, but my dad in particular had this approach or this sort of vision to have me and my brother choose our own faith. So even though they continued their practice, they wouldn't necessarily have us follow unless we showed interest. And so whenever I did show interest, of course, it was explained to me, but it wasn't necessarily something that was maybe forced upon. I don't know if forced upon is the right word, but the only other times that I was exposed to it a lot more were during the travels to India, because most of my family is still in India. And so whenever we'd go to visit, that's when we'd go to temples, and that's where I would get more exposed. So my interest in sort of my own Indian culture has been something that I've pursued a lot on my own.
Yeah, fantastic. Over to you, Kez. Next question.
Okay. So have you always been drawn to writing, Sonny?
Well, again, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I always wanted to write, and even as a little girl would write a lot of stories. But I also had a lot of aptitude towards being very scientific and analytical. And in school, was pushed away from writing and pushed more towards that sort of line of studies. In fact, it was really interesting because when I was in school, I mean, I was a good student, but I was told that I didn't really have an aptitude for arts.
Oh, really?
much of my youth, I would say, I didn't really pursue writing. I thought I just, it was not an option for me. And so a part of what I actually share in the anthology, The Colors of Me, is this writing journey of having to kind of come to terms with the fact that that was in fact part of my journey and being open to it. Not, you know, closing myself out to something that I've been carrying in me since I was a child.
It certainly does. I've read your story. I've got the book right here, and your story is, it just swings along. It's beautiful.
I'm
very impressed. Excuse me. In your writing, I mean, at school I was told you're going to get employed, you're going to get a job. And art was for playing and writing was the same thing. But I had this image in my head of my, like you see in Paris in the movies, of sitting in a garret with a long cigarette and a glass of wine, writing and becoming suddenly very famous and having so many people just wander around and in an odd assortment of clothes and being very artistic about life. And life isn't like that. I actually had to leave school and get a job. But I just found that interesting what you said, that you were driven away from your artistic endeavors, because that's what school in those days did. They made you look upon the world as, I have to find a decent job, earn some money, and then when I've got nothing to do, I'll fiddle with art. But it's not that way, is it? Because when you're driven, when you're actually driven towards your art and your writing, that's where you have to go.
But that's right. I mean, it was more considered like art and writing or your hobbies. You know, that's your pastime. You really have to be serious about getting something to be stable and earn a living and, you know, make something of yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Earn the money and then you can play, Yeah. It was never looked upon as a serious. So I'm really, really happy that you're one of us, that you've taken the bull by the horns and you're creative. Tony.
Tony, you've featured in a couple of anthologies, Blessing the Page and this one that we're going to talk a little bit further about in a minute, The Colours of Me. But you've also got a book of poetry. I'm wondering, do you have a favourite writing genre or do you just like to write?
I just like to write. I'm happy writing pretty much anything. I can even, you know, and for instance, prior to dedicating myself to writing full time, when I was a wellness coach, I wrote a lot of articles on alternative healing or wellness. And so it's something that I've always enjoyed doing. And I am drawn to the page, however it comes across.
Fantastic. Yeah, I can see that in your story. You're very drawn to your pages. Yeah. So you've been featured in The Colours of Me, which is an anthology. So tell the audience listening, how did you get involved in this and what was the process like for you?
Well, I got involved through you, Kez. We met at a writing retreat in Ireland a couple of years ago, I guess that was.
That's right, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time flies. Mm-hmm. Craziness. And then, you know, we've developed a relationship and we have a working relationship. I see you as a mentor and a guide. And so through that, you know, Kez reached out. And I think what struck me the most about the project was that these were meant to be sort of life-turning moments in the stories of the women. And that was something that I really felt compelled to write about, to share.
Yeah,
the entire book's full of beautiful stories. Yeah. Tony?
I can't wait to get my copy in the mail. Karen has promised me a copy soon and I keep looking at you. Kez, can you, for the audience, can you hold the book up? Because it's just, the cover is so beautiful.
Yeah. It is gorgeous.
Isn't it gorgeous, Sonny? I just think it's so beautiful. Sonny, I'm going to get you back on the show later in the year as well to talk about your poetry book, Embody. But just so the listeners know, you have a number of works in progress as well. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. So I actually have a copy of Embody. It's not the actual book.
Wow.
So that should be launching in the next couple of weeks. It should be soon, actually. This is the first book in a collection of three. So it's going to be a collection of three poetry books. And so that's in process. And then I'm also working on a novel. I've actually been working on a novel, I want to say, for about 3 or 4 years, but I can't seem to get it quite there yet. So that's something that I'm just hoping to finish very soon.
It takes a lot of time and effort to birth a book of whatever genre. There's a lot of time, effort and energy that goes into it, and I'm not sure that readers realize what it takes for a writer to write a book. For some of it's hard work. For others of us, it's relatively easy, and anything in between. Writers come in all sorts of personalities and all sorts of, write in all sorts of genres. Kez, you've got another question for Sonny.
I do. So, Sonny, when you're not writing or creating poetry or your books, what do you do? Who are you? If I knocked on your door, what would I see? I'd see Sonny, of course, but what would you be doing?
I love baking. I've always said that if, you know, it was the next lifetime I'm going to be born in, I want to be a pastry chef. I just can't add it to this one. It's too much to add to my plate right now. But I love baking. I mean, I love cooking in general, but baking has a kind of special affinity to me. I do also love traveling. It's just, you know, with these times, it's nearly impossible to be out on the road, but that's something that really fills me in a big way. I also do, part of this spiritual journey that I'm on, I do yoga and meditation, and I've always got something that I'm working on with that, whether it's crystals that I was showing Kez, that I have a whole collection of crystals that I sit around, astrology cards or oracle cards or all sorts of things that are always surrounding me. So any number of those things is what you'd find me doing if you were to knock on my door.
And I've also smell pastry cooking. I'd be offered a beautiful meal, no doubt, and lots of laughter like we had at Crom Castle. We had so much laughter there. It was a lot of fun. Tony, you have a question.
I have to, before I do that, I just have to show Thuni that I
oh, yay!
He's been on my desk. So aww. It's not just you.
That's excellent.
They sit so underneath. Exciting. I think that's
all I've got.
Oh, that's pretty, Kez.
It is. It's a pyramid. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. It is, isn't it? Is it amethyst?
It's amethyst and silver. But it's really quite powerful. Wow. And I have beautiful. A big one sitting here, but the vibration I was getting off it was uncomfortable. So I went down to a smaller one, and I'm just fine. Yeah, just fine.
People who love crystals understand that energy transference and the energy that they bring to the room. Other people who don't or haven't experienced that often look at it like, why have you got stones on your computer? Well, actually, they're my crystals.
They're not
they're
stones.
They're my energy givers. They're not stones.
Yes.
I think that was my grandson. I think my grandson said, Nana, why have you got stones on your computer? I have to, when I was looking at your website last night in preparation for our interview today, your logo is really uniquely beautiful. And underneath your logo, it goes, trust in your soul's destination. Can you tell the audience about that? I just think it's so beautiful. It attracted me on the website last night, and I thought I must ask you about that. Trust in your soul's destination. What does that mean to you?
So that has been part of what I have experienced in my author's journey or my writer's journey, where, you know, I had this calling from when I was a child, and I just kept on pushing it down and pushing it down and pushing it down. And, you know, I will never complain about the beautiful career that I've had, because I had a beautiful career in hospitality and then afterwards with my wellness coaching. And I learned and grew so much, but I never felt quite complete. And I kept on thinking, like, there has to be something else. There has to be something else. Or there has to be a bigger purpose for me in this life. And it wasn't until I gave myself the permission to write that I discovered that that was it for me. And one of the things that kept on appearing to me, and, you know, I believe in signs and, excuse me, I should drink some water. 1 second.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit like that, I have to say. There's a bit of something in the energy around the universe at the moment, scratchy throat and a bit of a cough. I would put it down to spring in Australia, but you're not in Australia and it's happening to you as well. So that's interesting. But, yes, back to your story. Sorry.
So part, you know, I believe that the universe communicates with us. And one of the things that I kept on seeing were pyramids. And I would see pyramids either in crystals, because I would see pyramid crystals. I would see them in images. I would see them in symbols. I'd be driving, I'd see pyramids. I'd be reading, they'd be talking about pyramids. And I kept on thinking, why am I even seeing these messages? And then when I looked into the symbology of pyramids, they're all about personal expression and balance and stability and healing.
Oh,
and one of the things that writing did for me was very healing, because even though I am working on one novel, I've also written and been in the process of writing a lot of stories, and they are cathartic. Not all of them are necessarily me and my own personal stories, but there's still something that kind of comes out of you that provides us a sense of balance, I would say. And so that's why I was drawn to the pyramids and drawn specifically to stories about people who allow themselves to be who they are, and having that clash that we all have. I think all of, you know, at some point in life, we struggle with who are we and who are we meant to be, and this kind of question. And that, because of my own personal journey, is something that I am driven to write about. And so that's the logo.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I just realized I too have a pyramid. That's amazing. Now, the trust in your soul's destination, I just want to explore that a little bit more. Do you believe, as I do, that each of us is a soul experiencing, having a human experience, and that our soul's job is to work on things that haven't been sorted or healed or done in previous life experiences? That concept of the soul being eternal, is that something that resonates with you, Sonny?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, kind of tying it back to some of the earlier conversation about growing up Indian, I mean, reincarnation and the eternity of the soul is something that I grew up always believing, not understanding what that meant. I think as an adult of a different concept of what that means and what we're here to do and the lessons that we're meant to learn, and that, you know, ultimately we're eternal, that not only are we here on an individual lesson, but we're also here in a collective lesson. And so sometimes life brings us together, and our purpose may not necessarily be just about, you know, this particular job that we have to do or this particular event that we have to participate or be a part of, but more of a collective experience where we're almost being led to live what we're living through, so that we can either influence and learn from one another, but also learn for ourselves and let go of the things that we haven't been able to let go from previous lives or previous experiences or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
Totally. Yeah. So I find that we experience, you know, we allow people to interfere in our experience. So when they have their opinion, and it's supposed to be, we're supposed to justify it. But, you know, I think that's why I've been called a catalyst most of my life, because I keep saying, well, that's not my opinion, and I just want to grow. And then I encourage other people to grow as well. Excuse me. So it's yeah, I really do believe what you've both agreed on there, that, you know, we are beings experiencing, there is a theory out there that we choose our parents, and I really don't know, but I do know that if I chose men, they taught me a lot of stuff. They really did. They taught me a lot. But it's not, you know, the child I was is not the human I am now. And, you know, it's the growth and watching and accepting the metaphysical world does exist. There's no doubt about that. And paying attention to it. You know, people think I'm a little bit nuts because I talk to my plants and I go and I dust them and water them and I call them beautiful. And I have a little chat. And my husband's, I mean, we've been married a very long time. He still looks at me sideways and goes, here she goes again. Because I love my plants and I often wander in the garden. I'll wander amongst my plants thinking, I just love being here. You know, when I die, I'm going to grow leaves. So there you are.
You know that the magnolias grow better when you talk to them and they flower more when you talk to them. Like magnolias are one of my favorite and I have lots of them in my garden. And this year the flowers on those magnolias are just spectacular. And I think that's because I spent the later part of 2019 and the early part of 2020 wandering around my garden talking to the magnolias going, am I on the right path? Am I doing the right thing? What's going on with the world? And so they responded by flowering heaps and heaps. Sonny, just one more question around that trust in your soul's destination. For a lot of us on this journey, it's sometimes a little difficult to trust what you think is your destination. Have you got any thoughts on that, trusting and understanding your soul's destination? Or do you think that it's kind of divinely led? If you just let go, follow the signs, and allow the universe to connect you with people and places and times and things, that you will intrinsically follow your soul's destination? What are your thoughts?
I mean, at least from my experience, I think it comes from within, because ultimately, even when you're following, I think the ultimate would be surrender, which is at least on a personal level, something really hard to do, where you just completely just say, okay, I have full faith and full trust. But other than that, at least for me, it's been a inner dialogue, because ultimately we are part of the universe. And so the universe actually speaks through us. So it's through our bodies, through our feelings. You know, am I supposed to go this way? Am I supposed to go that way? This one feels tight. This one feels open. Okay, I'm going to go this way. And then, you know, you might go that way. And sure, the universe sends you, for instance, a sign of a pyramid. But ultimately, do you see that sign and integrate it into you, or do you just dismiss it? Because you can see a sign and either not incorporate it, not acknowledge it, maybe even walk past it and not see it, as opposed to you see the sign and you think, ah, that's the universe talking to me. Yes, I am headed in the right direction. And so I feel that, you know, it's sort of, yes, the universe is constantly trying to communicate with you, but are you actually paying attention? And that's really, you know, it comes from within. Are you willing and are you open to that experience, and allowing yourself to be guided? But that's still, you know, your own personal intention.
Sunny, do you think that those signs are aided by practices like meditation, yoga, and journaling, because those things bring us into moments of consciously being in that moment? Do you think those things aid in the picking up of signs and the collecting of universal wisdom? Do you think those practices help?
It definitely does. And I think, you know, anything that involves giving yourself the time and the space to just be and not be worried about what you have to do next or who's speaking or who do you have to reply to or what shopping list you have to get done or whatever it is. So yes, meditation, prayer, yoga, any kind of art, any kind of drawing, because those are things that you do where you're allowing yourself to just be. You don't have an agenda. You don't have I have to, you know, I have to paint red here and I have to paint orange there. You're just allowing yourself to express. And those are, I think, moments where in the stillness, the universe is able to communicate with you and to reach you. And the more you do that, the more you learn to identify either when that is happening or get yourself in a space where you're open to allow that to happen.
Yeah,
I agree. Totally agree. You've got to be open.
Yeah. Because you're very artistic. Do you find that happens when you, like, I know that you do lots of workshops and I know that you paint a lot. Do you find that it happens when you are in those quiet moments when you paint?
Not so much in those moments. It's more or less, I love to journal at night time before I go to bed. Or not before I go to sleep. And if I wake up at 3 a.m, I will definitely it's a weird thing I do, but I plump up all the pillows behind me and I'll be wide awake at 3 a.m. and I will leave the room completely dark and just, what do you want to tell me? It's like a little spiritual newspaper, okay? It's like, it's got the headlines, it's got the words. You just have to take note of what they're saying. I encourage everyone to have some sort of crystal that they'll resonate with, because I believe that's the opening up the chakras. And I don't deal in chakras. I don't know too much about them. But what's your chakras? What's your mental and your heart? I mean, your heart and your mind speak to each other. I mean, I've always known that as a child, that we have a conversation. So, and you would know that too, Sonny, that your heart and your mind actually have a conversation. And when you recognize symbols, signs, or energy, that's when the conversation starts. You know, there is a three-way. There is a devil trinity that goes on. It's between you, your spirit, and the universe. It's definitely a conversation. Some people choose to ignore it and just go, I'm going to be mayor of the city and walk straight down that pathway. And they never have that experience. And when they do have that experience, they're shocked. But I'm not shocked anymore. Well, some things I am, sure. But when it comes to spirituality, it's like, but didn't you know that already? And I can see the wisdom in Sonny's face as you talk. There's definitely there's an aged wisdom there. There's not a, you know, how can I there's not a let's rock and roll, let's party. There's an aged wisdom that sits right at the back of Sonny's eyes.
Yes. Sonny, it's familiar when I'm talking with wonderful women that the 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. time is often mentioned as the time that we are awake or are awakened. And I've heard other spiritual leaders talk about that as a very special energetic time between the universe and the earth. Has that been, is that your experience too?
It is, other than I'm just not a morning person. So for me, the early morning rise is 6 a.m. It's not 3 or 4. But it is the time when the veil is thinnest, in the sense, you know, and it's a bit, that's why they call it the witching hour, between 2 and 6, roughly, around that time. I have been awakened, though, many times around that time of night, meaning if I'm having, you know, whatever is happening within me, if there is a particular insight, a particular dream, a particular something that is going on, that is usually the time that I wake up, somewhere in between then. And so it's very common for me to look up and look at the time and it's 3:30 something a.m. or 4 something a.m. And then I sit there and I think, okay, well, I guess something is happening right now. And I open. I don't say, okay, what are you sending me? Just kind of contemplate. So that has happened. I don't do it purposefully, though. I don't wake up at that hour.
No.
It's an unconscious thing, isn't it? Because it's unconscious for you too. It's not, you don't.
It is.
It just happens. Yeah.
I'm fast asleep, but it's like a tap. It's like a little tap on the forehead that says time to receive something. And I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I mean, it's not absolute clarity, but I know that. Maybe it's to love someone more. Maybe it's to get. Normally, I will, during the day, I will think, oh, I must ring Tony or I must ring Sonny. And all of a sudden you'll ring me.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the message is there
that
I must connect with you. Yeah. And that's the way I believe it happens. Yeah.
Sonny, do you have that happen to you that you know, you'll be thinking of someone and they'll either ring or you'll feel that you need to connect with someone and they'll go, oh, this is happening in my life, or I find particularly with women, and I know that happens with Kaz and I know that it happens with a lot of other my female friends, but I'm not sure that I've ever heard it happen between men. Is it an inherently female intuitive energy that we're experiencing, do you think, girls?
I mean, it is a feminine energy in that you know, intuition is feminine. It's the yin to the yang. It doesn't mean that men cannot be intuitive.
Yeah, that's right.
I have had it happen with men. I have had it happen, for instance, once that I woke up in the middle of the night and it turned out my father wasn't feeling well. Things like that have happened. I've had it happen with male friends. I think it just depends on how willing or receptive you are to embrace that feminine energy, because intuition is feminine. It's inherently feminine.
Yes.
But not necessarily of women, more of that aspect of that. I mean, we all have both feminine and masculine energy in us. And it's just women tend to be more embracing of that than men. But it does happen with men, and it has happened to me with men a lot of times.
Yeah.
What about children?
I have to say. Yeah. I was going to ask you about children too.
Children more so, because, you know, children don't have the conditioning that we learn
as we
grow up.
Yeah.
And the complexes and the this. I mean, there's so many times that I've had children, and I don't have children of my own, but my friend's kids, who will, you know, they look somewhere and you think, what are you looking at? And they see something that we don't see.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people explain it off as whatever they want to explain it off as, but I know that they have a connection that we just don't have,
because
they're not as prejudiced or judgmental or whatever the right term is. So for sure. Yeah. Children are far more intuitive. I mean, one of the things that happens to me, and some of my friends know this quite well, is I dream of my friends' kids more so than I dream of my friends.
So
often I'll wake up in the morning and say, hey, I had a dream with your child. This is what the dream said.
Yeah.
So that happens to me a lot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I just love it when my grandchildren were tiny. And they would come and say to me, you know, that I can't sit at the table and have a meal without George. And I'd say, who's George? Because he wasn't in the room with me. But they would not. There was two of them. They had two different, whatever they saw, and they had names for them. They would not sit at the table unless I set a place for that particular person as well, or made them a cup of tea to welcome them as well. They didn't know that I went along with it, because I firmly believed it was something there. But I just used to watch their to them it was natural, totally natural. And their questions to me is, why can't you see? I said, because you can see more than me. And one day they'll disappear and you'll be just like me. It was quite sad to think that I cannot see what they saw. My last grandson, who lived with me for quite a while until he was in his teens, I just felt sad when he finished that era in his life. It was like the blinkers went on, and I thought, how sad. And my daughter, until she was in her teens, could see auras. And then she went to church and the blinkers went on. I thought, how sad.
Oh, I was going to say, ladies, I get a little excited about this next generation, because I absolutely believe that we will start to value things like intuition and auras and that we will start to teach our children that there is a power in intuition, and not to shut it down and to listen to it as an integral part of human ness. And because I believe that the spiritual realm, the universal realm, will start to become more in the forefront of people's minds, because I believe that when we are embodying what the universe has for us, and that is abundance for everyone, then we start to take on some of those big issues across the world, you know, world hunger, inequality, wars, famine, all the rest of it. And I hope that that's what we get to see in this next generation. Do you think, Sunny, that I know for Indian culture, it's already very present across your culture, but for some of us in Western culture, we've shut it down for centuries and centuries. But wouldn't it be wonderful if in this generation that talking about intuition and the universe, etc., was a normal part of everyday life and business? Do you have that? Like, that's people say to me that that's an altruistic kind of view of the world. But gosh, I absolutely believe that if we could do this, and if more of us embrace those thoughts, that we can create a different sort of humanity going forward for my grandchildren at the very least. What do you think, girls?
I completely agree. But I do think that, you know, there is already there is already a shift. Even the fact that we can have this conversation, and the three of us have each had experiences that we say, oh, yeah, that has happened to me. Or, oh, look, I also have crystals. Yes. And that's something that I think, you know, even years ago, you wouldn't be able to have.
You wouldn't be able to
have that openly, or at least openly thinking that somebody was going to look down upon you. At least even in my immediate circle, that's something that people are getting more and more comfortable discussing. Uh-huh. And the more we get comfortable, of course, you know, the younger generation embraces it. But I think that... We don't have a choice but to shift, is my view.
We don't.
Just because there's just so much going on in so many levels. Politically, wars, conflict, you know, COVID, and so many things that it's sort of, unless we dramatically shift, you know, this isn't going to clear. And so it's actually a calling. It's a calling for all us to embrace this aspect of ourselves.
I have an alternate theory on COVID. I actually believe that it is the thing that humanity needed to turn us all back into looking at ourselves, to become more self-aware. And I actually see it as a positive thing for humanity in terms of that shift and that energy shift. And as horrible as it's been, and as tragic as the death and stuff has been for many, many, many people, it's been that once in a lifetime opportunity to sit back, reflect, and look inwards. And for those of us that have done that or embraced that, we will be the change makers that move forward in the future. And unfortunately, there will be others that continue to fight against what the universe is trying to teach us. Does that make sense? Am I explaining myself? I think it's a universal message that, hey, humans, you need to look back at yourself. You need to become more self-aware. You need to think about things outside yourself and think about the world and the betterment of humanity. So those concepts around getting vaccinated because it protects the greater community, or staying locked down because it protects the greater community, those sort of concepts that are for the betterment of everyone, I don't know. I may have it wrong, but just a thought.
I agree with you, Tony. I think, I think, I don't know. I was watching a documentary the other day about astronauts and what they've seen. And I thought, wow, we are absolutely silly if we don't believe in another world and in other aliens, as they would call us aliens.
Other realms.
But What's to say, and this is a theory I've had for a while, that we weren't put here to grow up, that this particular sect of humanity was put on this beautiful planet we call home to get a few clues, because it's just, you know, it's going to have to happen. It really is.
That explains what I was trying to say so well. And it does. To get a clue, like humans needed to get a clue. Truly we did. And if it takes a pandemic to do that, that's a good thing, don't you think? What do you think, Sunny?
Absolutely.
And I also think it's teaching us, if we choose to, right? And it's kind of like what you said, the people
who have embraced it's choice.
And said, you know what, I'm going to make the best out of this experience, no matter how horrific it is.
Yes.
I'm going to learn from this, no matter how hard the lessons. They're the ones that are able to show more compassion. And that's a lot of what is lacking, I feel, like just compassion, just think compassion. About other people and put
other
yourself
people.
In your shoes and consider another person. And there are people who are just shut off and they just don't want to. And
they're not.
No.
They're just not getting it. It's just everything is bad and we have to do this. And girls,
very
we're
negative.
Nearly out of time. Kez, I'm going to throw to the last question for you because it's an important one.
Okay. Sonny, where can I buy your book, your poetry book?
Well, once it is out, which hopefully it'll be in a couple of weeks, on my website is the best place to look for any updates. Okay. There I have updates on anything that I'm working on, including even a link to The Colors of Me. So that is my full name,
sonysing.com.
Okay.
Fantastic. And if you've
and
missed
the colors
that
of
link.
Me?
The Colors of Me, there's a link through it as well. But of course, you know, it will be out September 12th, correct?
This Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday. There you go.
Absolutely. Lovely ladies. Thank you both for joining us on Radio Tony, a conversation with Kez. For anyone listening, just a reminder, jump on radiotony.com. You will find the links. Jump on to sonysing.com and kezwickhamstgeorge.com.au. Have I got that correct? No, it's kezwickhamstgeorge.com.
That's right.
Lovely ladies. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both on the show today. Sonny, we will get you back on the show. Kez and I will be back next week with another author from the Colors of Me anthology. And thank you, everyone, for listening today. Don't forget to jump on to Sonny's website, Kez's website, or radiotony.com for either person if you didn't catch the websites on the show. And that's our lot for this week. We'll see you all next week. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you, Kez. And bye for now.
Thank you for having me.